This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz. Joining us in studio today, Darren Park. He's a coordinator for the Office of Solid Waste Management. He oversees the effort with the counties to recycle and minimize the generation of waste in an effort to divert waste away from our landfills. Joining us by phone, Lori Kaikina, director of the City and County of Honolulu's Environmental Services Department, who's out in her West Oahu office in Kapolei. And Rob Parsons is Maui County's environmental coordinator. He serves on the Hawaii Green Growth Sustainability Network and the Urban Sustainability Directors Network. He manages environmental protection grants out of the Mayor's Office of Economic Development. Welcome to you all this morning.
Oh, thank you, Catherine.
Thank you.
Thanks for the invite.
You know, Lori, maybe we should start out with you because we're just coming off a city audit that talks about how we're losing money over at H-Power, and you would like to see the flexibility to be able to burn more recyclables.
Yes, that is correct. And in the introduction, you mentioned that the city would like to send our recyclables to H-Power to avoid penalties. I'm not exactly sure where that came from. We're not being hit with any penalties.
Well, isn't that in the contract with the operator, with Covanta, that if you don't reach a certain threshold?
I see what you're saying. Okay, so H-Power contract with Covanta, it's what we call a put-or-pay contract. So we pay them whether we deliver 800,000 tons of trash or not. So it's not really a penalty. It's you're going to pay for it because they're going to have the service available for us. However, yes, you're correct. I do want the flexibility to take our recyclables to H-Power, but it's not necessarily to meet that put or pay minimum. I'm not exactly convinced that we're being environmentally and economically prudent by sending our recyclables using fossil fuels in containers to ship it to the mainland, where we can just send it to H-Power and generate electricity. And I have had talks with council members and environmental groups, and the environmental groups, I say that they're hesitantly in agreement with this. The main thing is they don't want H-Power to be a cure-all, and it's not. And in order to give us, to support the flexibility, the environmental groups have asked ENV, you really need to focus on source reduction. And to be honest, that never was in our vocabulary, but it is now. We have to start looking at that. And by doing source reduction, that's less waste that is generated up front. And yes, we're still going to have our put or pay contract, but maybe we can renegotiate that with Covanta later on down the road. But if I can start focusing on source reduction in the community and get the support of the environmental groups to take the recyclables to H-Power, then I think we'll be better off.
Legally, do you need the authority to do that, or you just want buy-in?
I believe we still need to make changes to our permits. We are required by state law to recycle 4 out of the 5 commodities. You got plastic, glass, metals, paper. So we are, and food waste, we are recycling 4 of the 5. But in order to change that, yet we will need to change the laws. And it's better if I have their support. If not, they can put up a wall and make things very difficult.
Okay. And Darren, what do you think about this idea of, you know, reducing the waste that we generate?
Well, you know, excuse me, it's a complex issue, really. And I think Lari is, you know, covering it pretty well. But again, it's a very complex issue. You must remember that we do not recycle in the state of Hawaii. We collect recyclable materials that must be dealt with somehow, either through, you know, H-Power, or it needs to be shipped away to an actual manufacturer, you know, someplace out of the state of Hawaii. But then, because there are costs associated with shipping out those recyclables, you know, you must also factor in those types of costs. Lori also touched upon, you know, the environmental impact of actually burning recyclables and, you know, trying to obtain buy-in. Anytime you use recyclable material, you actually are reducing the amount of greenhouse gases that are produced to produce virgin material to begin with. And also, you are actually using less fossil fuels for shipping. So I think that it's a very complex topic that has many facets that need to be looked at. And, you know, H-Power is one diversionary tool that is used by the city and county of Honolulu, but it's only in the city and county of Honolulu. It's not on the other counties. So it's an important tool that the city has, but we also have other counties that also must actually adapt to the changing environment of which we find ourselves in due to the changes in China not really buying our recycled materials anymore.
So talk about the support that you give to the other counties.
So the support to the other counties primarily comes in monetary form. So recyclables in terms of we support their recycling programs primarily through funds that we collect, and we do that in various ways. It supports positions, it supports recycling facilities that they go out to contract for. One of the things that we as a state try to be cognizant of is that every county is different, and as such, we would like the counties to take lead in their respective counties to best deal with their recyclables, how they deal with their waste, because they know better than the state actually the most efficient and best practices to deal with it.
And Rob Parsons, you're there on Maui. Maui was the first to actually ban plastic bags. You were also, I think, talking about the polystyrene issue as well. What's the snapshot there?
Well, thank you for including Maui County in the discussion today, or in the conversation today, I should say. Maui County is in the process of rolling out our foam-free Maui County program. December 31st will be the last date that restaurants and retailers can legally use a polystyrene foam bento or cup or bowl or whatever. After that, they need to transition. And so we're rolling out a campaign that's going to let people know that this is coming their way, that it's for protecting wildlife, for reducing plastic waste, as our first two guests have shared. Reduction is very much a part of our policy here. And even, you know, combating climate change enters into the equation.
And we do have challenges with landfills and a global plastic problem. And some environmental groups are saying that the focus really needs to be on refusing, as in single-use plastics, and reusing goods, and then recycling. Here's what we heard from one listener on our talkback line.
Hi, this is Penny from Makawao, and my idea would be to have Costco and similar retailers find alternative ways of packaging their items, and a lot of ready-to-eat foods as well. The other thing I have as a suggestion is our love of Ziplocs. You can buy pastry bags or wax paper bags that you can put a lot of items in, and then if you still need to seal it, you can put that inside the Ziploc and therefore not get your Ziploc dirty. I, of course, wash dirty Ziplocs as long as they're not holy, but this is a really good way to reuse and cut down your cost and get also cuts down the amount of plastic that we put in our environment. That's my idea. Thank you.
And from our talk back, we also got this from Inga Cordero from Central Oahu. She wrote in, we've been recycling since Mililani was issued the blue containers many years ago. We're diligently struggling to find the number one or number two on plastic containers, sometimes prying off stubborn labels. We spend time with soap and most of all water, washing out greasy mayo jars or oily bottles. I really want to know if after our efforts, does it all just end up at H-Power anyway? I notice people don't seem to know what to recycle. I see glossy magazines, cereal boxes. Maybe there should be periodic reminders. We live on a small island, and even though it's not cost-effective, I feel that recycling is very important. Laura, you want to chime in there?
Sure. So first, with washing out the bottles and then, you know, does it really go to H-Power? The answer is no. If she puts it in her blue cart, it is going to our, all blue carts go to our recycler, and he sorts out all the different materials, and it is getting shipped to the mainland. So, yes, with all of her effort, it's still being recycled. If it happens to go into the gray cart, then yes, it's being burned at H Power. Regarding her comment about people are still confused about what to recycle, she's absolutely correct. We have on opala.org, our website, it clearly defines what can be recycled, and also there should be a list right there on the blue cart to help explain things. And of course, they can always call us too if they have questions.
And I know, Lori, that you've been talking about this idea of maybe reducing the number of pickups for the blue bins to just once a month. Where are we at with that?
Yes, that is correct, because what we're finding in our routes, there's about a 50% set out when our drivers are going through the neighborhoods, and this is average. Certain communities, you get a very high set out. Certain communities, you get very low. So that's why I'm averaging. It's about 50%. And even what's in the blue carts, a lot of times it's not full. So what we're asking the union, we would like to reduce the collection from two times a month to one time a month. We rolled it out to them, and they're giving us their feedback right now, and hopefully we can roll it out with a new route selection later on this year and implement it in February. But we're still consulting with them on that.
And Rob, on Maui, what's the situation there?
Well, you know, I think the letter that you just read, the input from your listener in Mililani, hit the nail on the head, and I think that's why we're talking today, is because with the restrictions that have come down from China in the first of the year, reducing the contamination allowance from 5% per load to 0.5%. This is what has really generated all of this hubbub. And, you know, I think in a way we've taken the easy way out by shipping our recyclables to China. As Darren said in his opening remarks, what we term recycling here is really collection and shipping it to somebody else who's going to do the recycling for us. And that is our situation, being in the middle of the Pacific. That's geographically what we're talking about. So it is the basic question of, are we doing the right thing? And I, you know, from my perspective and people I talk to, they're recycling because they're convinced that it's the right thing. And so now we get to ask the tough questions and hopefully find answers for them. And, you know, I think that we need to design products to be less wasteful, to continue to foster responsible consumer behavior through reduction. Maui County is about to roll out a BYO reusable campaign to encourage people to bring their own beverage containers and even food containers when they're purchasing. So it drives me crazy when I see people with those little 6-ounce water bottles. It's about 2 gulps, and I'm going, who designed that thing? So we need to get back to actually design for easy disposal too. It's a design issue as well.
And Darren, does the state have any plans to roll out any kind of education plans for consumers at all? Is there anything on the horizon?
Well, not immediately. And you know, our main role is to ensure that whatever activity goes in the state of Hawaii, first and foremost, it's safe for human health. And then, you know, the second thing is it's safe for the environment. Education is something that, we need to do a better job and get out, you know, into the community and do. But the counties who actually do all the heavy lifting in the communities, each county does a really good job, educating the public. They have a lot of resources, including their internet resources. They often are out in the community directly at fairs. So they do a really good job in trying to get the word out in terms of what's recyclable, what's not, about waste reduction. So the counties really are the ones out there in the community sending a message that the community can do more to reduce the amount of waste that's generated. and also what is recyclable versus what is not.
We have a couple calls on the line. Jocelyn from Honolulu, can you hear us?
Hello?
Hi, Jocelyn. What's on your mind?
Hi, I'm here.
What's on your mind?
Oh, what's on my mind? I'm sorry. I have simple ideas. I haven't been listening to this before, but I'll just stick to the two or three. First of all, when you eat out, or this is for people, everyone at large, when you eat out or pick up food to take home, take your own box for leftovers instead of getting plastic or styrofoam or polystyrene or anything like that to take home. And decline the plastic forks that come with them and chopsticks. You can, if you're going home, you might as well just use your own at home, and they're washable. Another thing is when you buy a lei and put it on someone, don't put the box in garbage. It's clean. It's not dirty or greasy. Save it and take it back to the lei store the next time you buy a lei.
That's a very good point, and I know you're not the only one that thinks that it's a unique waste stream here in Honolulu, because we give flowers every day, and maybe there should be some kind of education program or some kind of something to be able to retrieve all these lei boxes out there. Darren?
So that's a really good idea. But one has to keep in mind that if you're going to retain this material in hopes of reusing it, there has to be a market for it. If you're using it yourself, in your own house, that's great. That's part of waste reduction. In other words, that doesn't land up, going directly into the waste stream. You're reusing it for another purpose, the same purpose. So, we don't have to deal with that. But one has to keep in mind that if you eventually do discard it, if it cannot be reclaimed or recycled and, find a viable market for it, it does land up as waste. So
I think one thought is that you return it back to the lei company so that they can reuse it.
Yeah, that's a potential, I think, reuse, waste minimization option. It's just a matter of whether or not, it works for that business. A lot of businesses are small businesses in Hawaii, and if you start returning those containers, they have to have a place to store them, clean them, and reuse them. So that's something to keep in mind.
Okay, we do have another caller, Richard from the North Shore.
Hello.
Hi, what's on your mind?
I live in a rental, and the comments I heard of bringing the collection of recyclables down to just once a month is, in my case, I want to point out that although some people don't put it out every week, there's people like me who put it out every week, and I spend a lot of time and effort to try and flatten everything out to make it fit, because we've got two or three households sharing one. So I also wonder, do landlords, can they make multiple households share, and how much would it be cost to get our own? And one more quick comment. I wonder if folks in the community realize that a big box takes up a lot of room in the blue container, but our ocean isn't polluted with boxes. The plastic and glass are so much more important, I think.
Lori?
I can respond to that. Regarding not enough space in the blue cart, so we have a couple of options for him. We do offer larger blue carts, but also additional. So like I said, some communities, they do recycle. Those blue carts are full, and we have no problem. If they give us a call, we can give them additional carts. Like I said, our routes are maybe only 50% full. So by adding the blue carts, it doesn't harm our routes too much.
And, Lori, when we talked a couple of months ago, when you mentioned, the whole idea about, needing more stuff to burn at H Power, I started actually putting some of the things from my blue bin into my gray bin so you'd have more things to burn.
Thank you, Catherine. There's one thing I wanted to touch on is that source reduction, it really has opened my eyes. Some of the data from my staff, so the bulky collection, we tend to fall behind so much, and some of it is staffing, some of it is trucks, but when I looked at the numbers they provided to me, it's astronomical how much we have, the community, people in general have started to generate waste. Just 6 years ago, you know, 2012, it has almost doubled in the amount of waste that our bulky crews are picking up. And we don't have additional drivers, we don't have additional trucks, and it's killing us out there. So when those environmental groups have opened my eyes to source reduction, they really hit it. And we need to get to the community to tell them, stop generating so much waste. Reuse as much as you can. I'm asking my staff to look into when people are putting out the bulky, can we contract out to companies like Goodwill, Big Brothers and Sisters, Salvation Army, Reuse Hawaii? Can you come through and check to see if there's anything that they can actually reuse and repurpose it? Because we need to do something. We're just a society of creating more and more waste, and it magically disappears, and it's all for free. I mean, I know people are going to argue with their property tax, but the generation of waste is increasing twofold, and we're not getting extra property tax for it.
And Rob, what's the situation on Maui? Do you do a similar bulky waste pickup?
We do. That's one of the services that Maui County offers. And actually, Hammerhead Metals here, one of our partners, offers a white goods program where appliances are received for free there, where most of the other things that they receive, including abandoned cars, people need to pay to drop it off. But Lori touched on something that we haven't talked about yet, which is producer responsibility, is that the corporations and companies that are producing these items that are shipped here, beverage containers or whatever they may be, with recyclable materials, also have a responsibility in what happens after the beverage that's inside them is consumed. And it's different here because we're not in the mainland U.S. or, you know, we're situated where we are, which does include the carbon footprint of sending these recyclable materials to a market. And I don't know if it was mentioned yesterday, but, you know, China hasn't completely closed down. They've just made it much more difficult. But that has actually opened the opportunity for other markets. I know that some plastics and cardboard are being shipped to Taiwan, to Vietnam, to Indonesia from the recyclers here on Maui that I've spoken with in the last couple of days.
And I stopped by a recycling center yesterday afternoon, and I talked with a recycling broker, Jaiwu Lee, says he sends hundreds of shipping containers of recycled goods to Asia. His company, Monster HI High Five Recyclables, is in Kaimuki on Walleye Avenue. He says at that location, half of his customers are homeless people. He used to send to China and Vietnam, but that halted abruptly this year. He laments he had a couple of dozen shipping containers actually stuck in the docks in Vietnam and had to pay to get them released.
In Vietnam, 23 containers for 4 months. To solve that issue, I spent $140,000. I just can't simply abandon my cargo. I couldn't do that because I had to continue my business. So the relationship with ship liners, so I had to solve the issues. I mostly shipped to Korea.
Wow. Okay.
It's a little stable, yeah.
But
it's costly. The reason I shipped to Vietnam, China, was cheaper. I couldn't do anymore. So I'm sending to Korea. It's stable, reliable, but expensive.
And Lee told us that, he's losing money. You know, Darren, you want to weigh in here? I mean, what are you seeing out there as far as the recyclers and the recycling centers?
Well, I think Rob and Laurie, you know, already touched on it. And basically, we just need to generate less waste, as Rob touched on it. Extended producer responsibility is one way, in terms of manufacturers can, you know, whether it's a monetary, you know, collection in a fund or actually they themselves directly going out and recovering their own products, that's one solution so that the community is not burning with it. And as Laurie touched on that, you know, waste reduction, you already see some form of it, by, you know, everybody from Amazon to Costco is doing bulk packaging, where they're actually reducing the amount of packaging that is produced for products for sale. But, you know, that being said, I think everyone has to keep in mind that everything is shipped into Hawaii. So since everything is shipped in, whatever we produce as a consumer has to be shipped out. So I think the community needs to keep that in mind, that whatever we use, whatever waste is generated, it has to leave the island in some form, even though if it's recyclable.
Now, when I was at that recycling center, I ran into a solar company, and we asked about recycling solar panels. Gail Slauson-Ike is with Ocean Head Solar.
With our company, we install solar panels, and we selected Solar World as one of our main solar panel manufacturers. And why is because we really like their whole concept of made in America and the cradle to grave philosophy, that they sell us a panel and they're all about the environment, and then when the panel is at end of life, they state that they will take it back. So we take it to the distributor, who will then ship it back to the manufacturer. But the panels are warranty to last 25 plus years. So, you know, it's not something that we've tested yet, because we haven't had any panels fail.
Right.
But the concept is great.
So, Darren, I know we were having a discussion yesterday about solar panels. Is this company an exception? Or, I mean, are these manufacturing companies even still around to collect these panels?
Well, again, that is a complex issue. And what Rob touched on, what that person is describing is extended producer responsibility. In other words, they will sell the product, but at the end of life, they will also collect the product and properly dispose of it. Whether or not all the millions of solar panels that have been deployed out there will experience that type of end-of-life collection, where it's responsibly recycled or disposed of, is unknown. Because, as you know, some of these solar companies are no longer around, so there is no company to actually rely on to collect these solar panels at the end of life. So That is something unknown that, unfortunately, I think we're going to have to deal with it sooner than later.
Right, because that's an awful lot of solar panels out there.
That is a lot of solar panels.
And we don't have a lot of room in our landfill.
No, we don't.
The other thing I wanted to talk about is, you had mentioned, too, that the coating on those panels, there could be an issue.
The coating on the panels, actually, if you're to strip off the coatings from those panels, which we don't have the technology here in Hawaii, but it's available elsewhere on the mainland, it could be classified as a hazardous waste. So really, you don't want to engage in the dismantling of those panels here in Hawaii. You are better off, you know, shipping them out whole to a recycler that can properly dispose of, treat, so that hopefully the glass on those panels can be reused in other materials.
If you're just joining us, you're here with The Conversation, and we've got a call-in show. We do have a call on the line. Steve on Maui. You have a comment or question?
Yes, I have two questions about recycling that could be corrected by change in state law. The first one, up until a year or so ago, the county was able to collect bulk metal, and because the price is so low, they're no longer doing that. I asked them, well, since the price fluctuates, why can't you store the metal until the price goes up? And I was told, well, we can't, because the law has to be changed to allow for the counties to store the metal. The second area is, at some point in the recycling history, it was decided, because of corruption, it was decided that we had to ship the glass to the mainland to be rather than recycled here. And it's obviously very cost ineffective to ship a commodity like glass when we need the sand can be, or the glass can be easily made into sand or can be used for beach replenishment. I had to pay $80 a ton for sand that had been on Maui, that had been imported from British Columbia. I was told by the recycling distributors that the Department of Health would never approve using the recycled glass for beach beach replenishment. And I'm saying this has got to be looked into. There's got to be a safe way, a healthy way to reuse the glass, either for sand or for sand for beach replenishment.
Okay, thanks, Steve. Darren, you want to respond?
Sure. So there is no glass manufacturing to any certain extent in the state of Hawaii. So glass in the state of Hawaii, as far as I know, has always been shipped to the mainland. And in the mainland, of course, it's reused to making new glass containers, window panes, but we have no such manufacturing capacity here in Hawaii. So that's why glass has always been shipped off island. So it has never really been used here to any certain extent, to my knowledge. In terms of making sand, that is an interesting topic and something that we commonly come across very often. There is a possibility to make sand out of glass. But one thing that is not known by many is that it's very costly. It takes a lot of energy. Glass is very hard. And it takes a lot of processing in order to actually make sand. In terms of beach replenishment, Department of Health is not really the right agency to that has oversight over whether or not that can be used for beach replenishment. So that's not something I really can address at the moment. And going back to storage of metal at a certain facility, there is a permit requirement in terms of how much you could store at a facility. And that's really built upon what is an appropriate amount that that facility could safely hold and won't pose a threat to human health and environment. You can't just, stuff a facility full of metal all the way to its property borders. You know, that's not going to be safe for the environment, nor is it going to be safe for anyone.
Hey, Catherine, could
yes.
I chime in about the glass recycling?
Yes, go ahead, Lori.
So the city and county of Honolulu has just put out a glass request for proposal because HPAR can't burn glass. And we would like to find something on island that we could recycle and reuse our glass. So myself, the managing director, and the chief of the refuse division, Manny Lanuevo, we went to Japan to see what they're doing, and they have technology to break it down to not just sand, but all different densities. We even went to a site in the mainland earlier this year, and their technology is actually better than the Japanese one. And I think I'm very hopeful that soon we'll be able to have our own process right here on Oahu where we can process it, whether it's for beach replenishment. But actually, my counterpart at Enterprise Services, he said he'll take all the glass all the sand we can produce for his sand traps. But you can use it in construction, backfill. You can let it, if it's a higher, lower density, it's going to float on the water, and it helps with algae and odor reduction. So I'm hopeful by next year or 2 years max that we'll have something on island to reuse the glass on Oahu.
Well, that's great if that actually comes together.
Yeah.
Is there any possibility of using something to help with repaving roads?
So Mayor asked me that a while ago, and some of the feedback from these are the road people. I'm not an expert in that the glass, it's the complaint is it's shiny and it's slippery. So when you mix it with the asphalt, the glare of the sun could throw off the drivers. But my understanding from the mayor, it's used all over the place in different countries. So, but I'm not an expert to talk on that. But with all of the glass that we produce here, what ENV collects, like I said, Enterprise Services would be able to take all of that volume, but I agree, if we can use it in construction or beach replenishment, that would be terrific.
So as far as in the RFP, how far out are we?
It just went out, I believe, so probably 30 days to get a response back from potential bidders.
And then actually getting something in place? What's your hope?
I don't want to throw BFS under the bus. That's why I said next year or the year after, 2 years max.
Okay, but it can't
get something actually constructed on island.
But it probably can't come soon enough for a lot of folks.
Yes, absolutely.
It seems like, just judging from the calls that we've been getting, that people want to do the right thing. They realize that there are limitations living on an island. They don't want to contribute to garbage barges and that issue. But we do have a global plastics problem. I know there are a number of communities across the globe that are addressing the single-use plastics with plastic straws. Where are we at with that issue? I know, Rob, can you talk about the situation on Maui? Because I think when we chatted before, you said there are many restaurants that don't use plastic straws anymore.
Sure. Very much so, and I think that the Hawaii Business article that came out on September 10th that I just looked at cited the fact that on Oahu, some 200 restaurants are ocean-friendly, certified by Surfrider Foundation, who's been an active partner in some of the source reduction discussion and legislation, actually. On Maui, I don't know what the latest number is, 120, 130 restaurants, but we have some really good community partners. Maui Huliao Foundation is one of them. They're also instrumental in outreach for our polystyrene restrictions that, as I said, kick in at the end of this year. And I think that we've all read that there are West Coast communities and others that are also selectively choosing the low-hanging fruit of single-use plastics, whether it be drinking straws or plastic utensils. I know that Kukua Hawaii Foundation is promoting their wooden sporks that, don't leave home without one. You'll never have to use a plastic utensil again. And so step by step, we're addressing some of these things, but we live in a world of plastic proliferation. And for those of us who attended the 6th International Marine Debris Conference in San Diego in March, it was very at the forefront of the discussion is that we really need to reduce our plastic use. And that's just one of the commodities we're talking about today. And I'm glad to hear that there is movement to reuse some glass locally, because that's one that's very heavy to ship, it's very cumbersome, and limited value on the other end. So anything that we can do here, and I've talked to people, I actually got an email and a call yesterday from someone who's promoting a glass crushing technology, and there are a variety of grades of sand that it can be ground into. Sandblasting is one that wasn't mentioned. Many of the other potential uses were mentioned. So I'm optimistic that that this is leading us to a place where we may find some better reuse at some level, whether it be small or large, of these recyclable commodities.
And I know when I was traveling this summer, I saw in Europe that they have paper straws, but really well-made paper straws. They're not like the ones that I grew up with that, kind of fall apart as you're using them. So, I brought some back because I thought, wow, this is, what we should be looking at potentially is, making a better straw out of paper instead of plastic. A small thing, but I guess every little bit helps. We do have a call from Gary from Hilo. Are you still on the line?
I am here, yes.
What's on your mind?
Okay. Regarding straws, we don't need straws. I ride my bike only. I'm car-free. I see so many plastic lids and straws in the gutters of Hilo and the environment here. And the second thing is extended producer responsibility. What we all need to do, everybody in the whole world, we need to contact the manufacturers Johnson & Johnson, Procter & Gamble, Meadow Gold, Banana Boat, all these different manufacturers that make plastic containers. There's so many of them. And we need to pressure them to make compostable, biodegradable containers for their soap, for their sunscreen products, for whatever it is. When I lived in Santa Cruz, we had natural food stores there that had detergent, both dish and laundry detergent containers that were packed in cardboard, compostable, biodegradable, safely. You could just empty that. Once it's empty, just dig a hole in your backyard and bury that container, and it would decompose. We all need to be proactive about contacting the manufacturers about this issue.
Thanks, Gary. Is there anything that we can do as a community, you know, government entities, to further this thought, to pressure the manufacturers?
I think in terms of pressuring the manufacturers, for lack of a better description, is not to purchase their product. If you strongly believe that their product is contributing to waste, it's not recyclable, it's detrimental to the environment, then as a consumer, you really have a choice not to purchase their product, but to purchase, you know, alternative. So that is the strongest voice we have, because if you don't purchase their product, then that company no longer will produce that product in that manner. Hopefully, will change their production of that product to be more environmentally friendly. So I think that is the strongest voice we have right now.
Lori, do you want to add anything?
Not really. When I think about manufacturers, I guess I think about, we're a tiny little community in the middle of the Pacific. What kind of impact would we have if we try to contact them? I see what you're saying, that if we don't purchase their product, but again, we're so tiny, I just don't know what kind of impact we would have.
Well, I know that this was an issue when we were talking about e-waste at the legislature. I know there were efforts many years ago to try and figure out, hey, can we get these manufacturers, you know, Dell and Apple, to step up and be responsible. Rob, do you want to chime in here?
Well, I think it is incumbent on us, as the caller said, to have our voices be heard. And even if it's a smaller voice in the middle of the Pacific, it still adds to the others that are chiming in, asking for producers to design products that are less wasteful. And then we need to, you know, continue to foster responsible consumer behavior here from those that are purchasing the products. One thing that I wanted to interject that I think is a real opportunity that only comes around once every 10 years, is it's time for each of the neighboring counties to address their integrated solid waste management plans. This is a plan that's developed with stakeholders' input and community and county council, and ultimately is filed with the Department of Health. And it's an opportunity that I see, and the city and county has been undergoing their 10-year review all year long, so they're well into it. And then it's coming to each of the other three counties next year, 2019. But this is our opportunity to align our regulations and policies to help foster these outcomes that we want to see. So that's coming soon to a neighbor island venue near you, and you can probably jump in on city and county's discussion now on their integrated solid waste management plan.
Yeah, that's a good point. We are right in the middle of it, and thanks for bringing that up, Rob. And we do have different stakeholders on the committee, including the environmentalists, and that's where we're getting some of our ideas. Our previous ISWMP plans were kind of, textbook and didn't really think out of the box, but my understanding is this round we are expanding our horizons, thinking out of the box, how can we do things better and look at solid waste as an entirety, you know, not just what ENV is responsible for. So I'm very pleased at some of the feedback that we're getting.
And I would hope that as you move toward the reduction of blue pickup of the blue bins, that there's some kind of education that goes along with it, so that consumers know what's happening and the thought behind why this is happening.
Oh, absolutely. When we do the rollout, we will have to notify all of the residents, because their schedule is going to change, not just the reduction. We might have to when we're combining routes, their collection day might change. So we will have to explain to them, and exactly like you said, Catherine, why we're doing this.
And we do have another call. Ari from Honolulu, you have a question?
Yeah, I'm wondering why we're not talking, and thank you for taking my call. I'm wondering why we're not talking more about the milkman model as an effective solution, because whenever we talk about utilizing waste at the end, we wind up creating a dependency on it, whether it's for H-Power or for roads or whatever application. If we adopted the milkman model, which actually used to be dominant out here in Honolulu, in fact, everywhere, you just reuse the bottles, wash them, and then refill them. And in fact, Coca-Cola and beer companies, they all had filling stations out here that would reuse bottles way back in the day.
Anybody want to respond to that question?
Actually, I'll respond, Catherine. That is a great idea. Interestingly, you're beginning to see it in the form of growlers at microbreweries, where they actually are reutilizing glass bottles. So when you go to those microbreweries, you can go and bring back your growler to refill. So we see it coming back in some industries in some form, but you're right. We don't see it on a large scale that we used to see it in the state before.
And we do have another call. Kahi from Sustainable Coastlines, you have a question?
Hey, aloha. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to mention, they were talking about some of the leading to change by consumer behaviors, and I really think that's important, but I think we also need to recognize the influence that lobbyists and other industries have on our political system and their ability to crush a lot of the bills that we've introduced, like our plastic bag ban. It was a watered down version of what we really wanted. The styrofoam ban that was on the verge of getting passed was crushed last minute, not in a public sphere, but behind closed doors, and then just weeks later, that same politician gets a big donation from the lobbying group. So we really need to understand that as people, we need to get out and vote and start putting people into power that believe in the sustainability and not all about just getting reelected utilizing unethical campaign sources. So I just wanted to put that out there and what they thought about that.
Okay, and we do have an election coming up, so there you go. Any thoughts in general just about the politics of recycling and reusing and dealing with our waste issues?
Well, politics is one facet, but the bottom line is really economics in terms of recycling, reusing. It comes down to, is it economically feasible? If it really costs someone or an entity too much money, then it's really not feasible to recycle. And that's that. Unfortunately, that comes down always to dollars and cents, right? In terms of can the scrap value of that material overcome the cost to collect it and process it?
Rob, do you want to add anything from Maui's point of view? Are you there?
Of the issues we're discussing today, and that an hour has flown by just shows how much there is, how many different angles there are to discuss. And I'm grateful for particularly for the last two callers, because they've spent so much of their time and sweat equity trying to do the right thing and help consumers make the right choices. And in Kahi's place, actually cleaning up a lot of what winds up on our shorelines. So great listeners and great discussion today. And I just think that we ought to focus on the opportunities that are available to us and not the crisis that China has somehow created. I think there's great opportunity in it. And part of that will be shifting our behavior, and part of that will be finding some ways to reuse these materials here so that we're not locked into shipping them back out.
And Lori, what's your take on all this? I mean, I know, you know, there are issues sometimes with getting buy-in from the council. You did earlier this year try to roll out a fee for garbage pickup.
Yes, thank you for bringing that up. And, well, I just wanted to thank Kahi for calling in and not beating me up. Because we're trying to work with him on different things, so I really appreciate his call. And regarding the bill, yes, I think we're probably the only county that does not charge for our refuse collection, and I would love to try and get that off the ground again. I think Mayor has tried 3 times. It hasn't even been heard at council. They kill it before it can even go on the floor. We even reduced it from $10 a month to $5 a month, and our actual costs are more like $50 a month. So I hope it can, you know, be reintroduced again, and the council members will at least listen to what we're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, well, it is a dilemma. You know, we're talking about the politics of trash, globally and locally. So there's got to be a way. I don't know. Maybe there should be a ballot question on this. any other final thoughts from any of you three? We're running out of time.
Okay, I have a quick one. Well, we'll be working with the city in Kaneohe and Honolulu, and I hope the RFP for glass is successful, because up to this point in the state of Hawaii, we don't have any closed-loop system. So if we could actually have a closed-loop system where we could take care of our own recyclables here in the state of Hawaii, it will be first of its kind. So we'll be continue talking with Laurie's folks.
Okay. We'd like to thank our guests, Darren Park, the State Solid Waste Management Coordinator, Rob Parsons, Maui County Environmental Coordinator, and Lori Kaikina, Director of the City and County's Environmental Services Department. And we'd like to thank you, the listener, for joining us on today's show. If your call didn't make it on the air during today's discussion, you can still contact the TalkBack line and leave your comments. That number, 808-792-8217. You can also email us at talkback@hawaiipublicradio.org. And if you want to listen back to today's show, check out the Conversation podcast at hawaiipublicradio.org. I'm Catherine Cruz. Join us tomorrow for more of The Conversation.